Turn with us to Acts 26:18 this morning. As Paul is sharing with King Agrippa his conversion as he was on the road to Damascus, of his personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and how that Jesus commissioned him to take the gospel to the Gentiles or to the heathen. And Paul's mission was to, first of all, open their eyes. Now, if the Lord has commissioned you to open someone's eyes, the assumption is that their eyes have been closed. Paul spoke of those in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How that Satan has closed people's eyes to truth. In Ephesians 4:18, Paul said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So those who are in the world have been blinded by Satan. Their minds are blinded to the truth. Paul's mission, open their eyes. One of Satan's strategies is that of blinding a person to the reality of their own condition. Look how long it takes an alcoholic to admit it. Oftentimes they never do. To everyone else, it's so obvious what alcohol is doing to them, how it is destroying them. Their friends all know it. Their family all knows it. They've tried to tell them, but the person always affirms that there's no problem. They can quit any time they want to. Rarely do you find a person admitting to drug addiction. You rarely hear a person say, well, I'm a dope fiend. Or I'm a drug addict. They might say, well, I have a problem. But it's much more than a problem. There is a blindness, though, to their own condition. A person who is living in sin is blind to what sin is doing to him, the destructive aspects of sin. People are blind to the fact that one day they're going to stand before God and have to give an account unto God for their sins and be judged by God. There is that attitude or feeling that death is the end of a person's existence. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There are those who somehow feel that their good works will placate the wrath of God against their sin. But the Bible tells us that our good works or our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And how embarrassed and ashamed they're going to be when they try to present to God their good, righteous acts. Paul, when writing to the Romans, said, do you think that you can escape the judgment of God? They're blind to the fact that unless a person is born again, they have no hope of entering the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life, and few there are that find it. It's true that all religions lead to God. but not to the eternal God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. You see, the Bible acknowledges that there are many gods, and all religion will lead you to some god, but only Jesus Christ can lead you to the true and the living God, the creator. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me." The way to heaven is not nearly as easy as some people imagine it to be. A lot of people believe just because they live in the United States that somehow that ensures their being a Christian. There are many who are sort of leaning upon the fact that their parents were good Christians. But God has no grandchildren. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor the abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Paul said, don't be deceived about this. You're engaged in these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of people are blind to that fact. They think that they can live however they wish and still be accepted by God. Writing to the Galatians, Paul said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I have told you before, I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Writing to the Ephesians, he said, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." A person who is living in sin is to be pitied because his eyes have been blinded. He's walking in darkness, and he doesn't realize that he is on the road to hell. John wrote, "He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, but he doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, Jesus said to Paul, "I want you to open their eyes. Help them to see the truth, Paul. They're blind to reality. They're blind to what sin is doing, the ultimate consequences of sin. Open their eyes, Paul. Help them to see." If your eyes have been opened to God's truth today, then they have been open to the truth about yourself. You see, the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So often the Bible exhorts us, be not deceived. And again, the very fact that it says don't be deceived, there's the understanding that there are many people who are deceived. But in seeing the Lord, and then I see myself in the light of the Lord, I see then the truth about myself. If we compare ourselves with others, we're making a grave mistake. Because I can always find someone who is a little dirtier than I am. I might say, I know my hands are dirty, but look how filthy his are. And Paul spoke about the error of comparing ourselves with each other. You see, I'm not the standard for righteousness that God has established. You might say, well, I'm better than Pastor Chuck, and that could be very true. But I'm not the standard. Jesus is the standard for righteousness that God has established. And thus you don't have, it isn't seeing yourself in comparison with me. It's seeing yourself in comparison with Jesus Christ. And when we do that, all of us have to admit our own guilt and how undone we are. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on the throne, and his glory filled the temple. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. I saw the Lord, but then in seeing the Lord, he saw himself. Woe is me, I'm undone. Seeing myself in the light of God. If you see a man who is self-righteous, a man who is proud, you are looking at a man who has never had a true encounter with God. For a true encounter with God is always an extremely humbling experience, because I see now myself in the light of God's holiness, in the light of God's purity, and I realize how hopelessly undone and lost I am. When Peter saw the Lord, he said, depart from me, Lord. When he realized who Jesus was, he said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Daniel describes the effect of his vision of God. And he said, my beauty, that is the best part, turned into corruption. I really saw how corrupt I am. The first work of the Spirit of God in our lives is to open our eyes from that blindness that has come as the result of sin. But then Paul was commissioned by the Lord to turn them from darkness to light. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of light and life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The world today is wrapped in the kingdom of darkness. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, he thanked God for the fact that he made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, having delivered us from the power of darkness, that he might translate us into the kingdom of his Son. We who are Christians have been set free from the kingdom and the power of darkness in which the world is being held today. I'm appalled at the darkness of this world in which we live. I cannot conceive of the things that are being reported in the news today. I cannot, in the wildest imagination, imagine a father sexually abusing his own child. I cannot imagine the darkness of a man's mind who would make love to another man. I cannot conceive of the millions of babies that are being destroyed in our land today by government consent and many times with government subsidy. That same government will impose a heavy fine upon you if you destroy an eagle's egg or if you kill a kangaroo rat. There's something radically wrong when a government will protect unborn eagles but not an unborn child. When it puts the life of a rat in greater esteem than the life of a child. Surely, as the Bible says, the world is wrapped in darkness. People don't know. They don't see. They're blind to what's going on. Paul was commanded by Jesus to bring men into the light. Darkness is a symbol for evil. Light is a symbol for purity. To the Ephesians, Paul said, "For you were one time in darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. There's always a sharp contrast. And you are either walking in darkness or you are walking in light. Many people who profess to be walking in light are really walking in darkness. It was John, who declared that if we say we are in the light and yet we're walking in darkness, we lie, we don't know the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God as the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all of our sins. The third thing Paul was to do was to bring the people from the power of Satan unto God. It's amazing the power that Satan has over so many people today. The bondage of corruption in sin. At one time, you were held by the power of darkness. At one time, you were in bondage to sin. But Jesus died for us that he might set us free. And he might redeem us from our slavery unto sin. Paul, when he was writing to the Romans in chapter 6, said, "Don't you realize that whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, you become their slave? Whether it is to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But thank God that though you were once slaves of sin, now because you've obeyed from the heart that doctrine which was delivered to you, you've been freed from sin. You've become servants of righteousness. For even as you once yielded your bodies as slaves to uncleanness and iniquity, even so now, yield your bodies as servants of righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you had no righteousness. You have no fruit in those things of which you are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. Now that you've been made free from your slavery to sin, you've become the servants of God. The fruit of your new life is holiness, and the final result is everlasting life." Jesus said, whoever sins becomes a slave to sin. Speaking of the false teachers, Peter said, while they promise you liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whatsoever a man is overcome, by the same is he brought into slavery. John is even stronger as he writes, he that practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And this is the reason that God sent his Son into the world, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Paul was commissioned by the Lord to bring them from the power of Satan into a relationship with God. Only Jesus Christ can free you from sin, from the hold that sin has on your life today. The Bible said that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Would you like to be free from all of those evil thoughts and desires that have brought you into bondage, made you a slave to your flesh and your fleshly desires? You find yourself in bondage to sin? This is what the gospel's all about. Setting men free from the power of darkness, from slavery in sin, to a glorious freedom from power of sin into the wonderful liberty of being a child of God. Great freedom. I'm free now to serve God, to live a righteous life, because I have been set free from the bondage to sin. Opening a person's eyes to the truth of God, bringing them out of darkness into light, freeing them from the power of Satan, that they might become the servants of God. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what Paul was commissioned by Jesus to do. It's the message that Paul had to carry to a lost world, a world that was wrapped in darkness, a world that was blind to the truth of God, a world that was in slavery to sin. Maybe you're a part of that world, but Jesus Christ came to set you free. And today, the gospel that Paul preached, the power of God unto salvation, the power to change man, to bring him from darkness to light, that power of the gospel has not diminished with the years. It is the same today as it was when Paul preached it. It is still the power of God unto salvation for those who will believe, for you today. Thank you, Father, for this glorious salvation, the wonderful gospel that we can proclaim to a world that is in darkness, in the bondage of sin, whose eyes have been blinded. And Lord, what a privilege it is and what a blessing it is to share with those poor, lost, blind slaves that Jesus Christ died to set them free and to give them eternal life. Lord, we pray that you'll help us, as Paul, to carry this message into our world, to our neighbors, to our friends. May we bear witness, Lord, of your power to deliver and to set men free. Lord, if there are those today who are here whose lives are being held in the bondage of sin, open their eyes, Lord. Let them see how their lives are being destroyed by their sinful practices. Let them see, Lord, the effects of sin upon their lives. And Lord, we pray that you will bring them out of that darkness into the glorious light of your love. Deliver them, Lord, from that bondage and slavery to sin, that they might know the joy of being a servant of God, set free by Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? What a glorious message we have to share with the world that's dying in sin. May God help us to carry that message to this lost world. May the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you in his love. And if you are in that category of bondage to sin, it has a grip and a hold on your life. I pray that the Spirit has opened your eyes to what's happening. And I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and meet with Jesus Christ, who alone is able to set you free, that you might know the glorious liberty of the saints of God who have been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. May you come this day into the glorious light of his love and walk in the light as he is in the light and enjoy fellowship with God. It's yours. It's for you that Jesus died. He'll set you free. Just go on back to the prayer room. There will be counselors and pastors back there to pray with you. And you can know the joy of the gospel.